Well, we have had an eventful week and a half or two
That's
weeks,
saying
really.
something.
Yeah, it's been kind of nuts. I mean, just two hurricanes. One that's been really bad, close to home here. I mean, within an hour of us is Western North Carolina, and I know a lot of you folks have heard about Western North Carolina and all the devastation that went on. It is for real. It's for real. And in that vein, it has made me think about a lot of topics around caregiving and tech because of having, it's bad enough for all of us when we have a hurricane coming or we have a natural disaster or especially a hurricane coming, we can actually see it coming. There's a lot for us to think about. But, if you add aging parents or aging loved ones into the mix, then that adds a whole other level of complexity, doesn't
Boy, you're not saying it's really true.
it?
So for me, I have a situation where I have four separate locations. My wife works in a separate place. I work in a place, and then I've got two parents in different places, but relatively close together. And I got to worry about all four of them and how they're affected. The lucky thing is that my mom's situation actually stayed pretty stable. And we had power, so we ended up the two of us back at that place. And there were some things we had to do. Like there's a normal stuff, like when you lose power for more than 2 or 3 days, you got to do something about your freezer. And so we handled that. And that's not really a tech subject, but as a reminder, just I bought groceries on the day of this hurricane coming in, and those groceries ended up in a cooler going to Orangeburg. So don't just react to what you need to do. Sometimes think about it. What happens if you lose power? And that was the most likely thing to happen with these hurricanes. And then for Barry and I, we were surprised. This hurricane took a different path than what it should have. And even in that surprise, there were some things that we needed to both be taken care of. And it goes back to the rule. The first rule of caregiving is make sure you're okay. Because if you're not okay, you can't do anything for anybody. So, in retrospect, I would have had a plan. We probably would have thought through a little bit more things. And I think that's probably similar to where you're at. You're always the best memory of what to do of what these kind of things is usually when it after it happens, and you go, "Oh yeah."
Hey, and it, like you said, you kind of do an after action review. You want to go through and say, all right, what worked and what didn't work and what would I change and all that. And to your point about taking care of yourself, this was kind of a weird thing for me is that the day after the hurricane, I had a flight plan to go on vacation with me and my wife. And the night before our flight, we had no power. We had no internet. We were doing the best we could at the time, but when we kept checking to make sure the airports were going to be good. And so we're planning for this and we're getting ready to go out of town. But we're also thinking about and talking to my dad, my wife's mom, my aunt, who I help out a good bit, and kind of rolling through the, I don't know, I guess guilt is the right way to say it. You felt like, all right, I've paid this money. I've paid all this stuff in advance for before my vacation, but at the same, and I'm going to lose that money if I don't go take it. But at the same time, you also feel like you're, I don't know, you're kind of abandoning people in a way. I know you're not, I'm not really, but I have this kind of weird syndrome about guilt about stuff like that. But long and the short of it, we did manage to get out of town, and we were out of town for the whole week that a lot of folks were out of power. And the whole time, I'm checking with my dad and my Kay's mom and my aunt, and making sure that they have what they need, that their neighbors are checking in on them, and they got power back relatively quickly. But I felt like I couldn't relax on vacation until I knew that they were in good shape or that they were being taken care of. So we did what we could with that. But ultimately, it all worked out good. And our vacation actually worked out good too. So that was nice. We got back on a couple of days after power came back on. So it's good.
And for me, making sure that my mom had an idea of when I would check in, and, you know, what things to have, even checking with her the day before and making sure she had things like water and batteries. And so I was able to do some of that stuff beforehand and feel kind of at ease. She has a situation where if her power is down, she can't call anybody. So making sure her cell phone was charged, and making sure that that we did the right things to give her a sense of security. Even talking to neighbors and saying, hey, check on her, knock on the door, see if she's okay when things calm down. So it really helps to have a plan. And then the other thing I almost forgot was post all of this, making sure things work. Like, okay, the phone works like it should, the internet should work like it should. If you have a camera down that needs to be reset, what do you need to do? I just finished having a call, actually, about my mom's camera that didn't return, and making sure I schedule something to get that fixed. So you have to think about afterwards, too, and what to do about that kind of thing. And then, you know, we were down there for a week, so it really helped. But your tech also requires some maintenance and some post-work that you need to think about. How computers work. Sometimes computers reset and they have to be brought up in a different way. Make sure you have that. Make sure, you know, the things that are essential to what she needs to do work. And then, you know, there's little simple things like gas in the car and light bulbs so that you can change a light bulb that dies. Those kind of things that you really need to keep in mind, too.
Yeah, for sure. Did you find yourself afterwards making a bunch of checklists for next time? Or I'm sure you probably had checklists ahead of time. But
I did. It wasn't enough. There was stuff I had to put on there.
Yeah, so. It's never enough, too. And you brought up good points. Like my dad, I made sure he had a generator. He had several battery packs and stuff for charging phones. And same thing with my aunt. She had battery packs. A generator, not really appropriate for her at this point, but my mother-in-law, she's in an assisted living place, and they had generator backup and that kind of stuff. So it felt good that they all had, you know, they all had what they needed. So that was good.
We had a similar situation too, Barry, that we have a parent that's in a assisted care area right now. And for us, it was new. And so making sure that we knew what the protocol was. What do you do when you need to check on them? You need to ask those questions. So make sure you do. It's really important.
Yeah, for sure. And I was reminded of something. Speaking of assisted living, I was reminded of something before we went out of town. We stopped by and saw my wife's mom, and they, assisted living, at least the one in hers, they're not everything is on generator. They prioritize the things in the kitchens and the food preparation areas, but also I learned that all of their rooms have normal power outlets, and then they have power outlets that are orange, and the orange ones are hooked up to the generator and up in uninterrupted power supply situation. So there was some power the whole time, but there wasn't what they were used to, put it that way. But I can see where that'd be very helpful. So if you're on oxygen or something like that, you know, that would be great to know and not have to worry about that's going to have power all the time. I'm sure that it's probably limited. You wouldn't be wanting to plug in everything that you have in there, but if you you can keep a phone charged, you can keep necessities powered. It's all good. It's all good. And even things like hearing aids, for that matter, being able to make sure that those things are charged, and any other kind of personal devices and that sort of thing.
Or emergency radios or trackers. If you have trackers that you're trying to use to see where loved ones are, you know, some of those require things like Wi-Fi to work. But at least you can make sure that the support system is charged and ready to go. And, you know, I don't know about you, but during the power outage, I used my phone and my iPad to watch television, to see reports, then even enjoy a football game every once in a while. So, you know, it pays to make sure you have that, you understand what those things are and those, you know, what the passwords are and if they work, that kind of thing. So there's a lot, there's a good bit you can check beforehand to make sure it works.
It's true. And know too, if you're going to have an extended power outage, just realize ahead of time that even that stuff may fail. Like in my area, the cell towers went out about, I don't know, a day after the power went out otherwise, because, you know, those things run on diesel generators when they don't have power. So, but the runtime on those things is limited by how much fuel they have in them. So in this case, I think maybe the cell towers went down when they ran out of fuel. It may have been from other damage too, but, and after that, about all we could reliably do was occasionally get a phone call through, but mainly text. So, you know, text is your friend. it's the least,
yeah,
least bandwidth intensive. It takes the least amount of data and is, it can get you through to at least get in contact with somebody, even when you don't have much cell service at all.
Yeah. So one of the things I had to do post Pam is I had a Google Home set up with AT&T. I'm giving them a little small tiny plug on that. And so that I can pull up on my camera, I pull my iPad on my phone, and I can see mom. And there's five cameras in the place. And so when the storm hit, two of the cameras went out, and I knew, okay, I got to do something with that. So when I was down there that week, I made sure I could reset one of the cameras. And one of the Google cameras are easy to reset. There's a little button in the back of them, and you can just hit a button, or you unplug it and put it back in, and it resets. And I did one of them all right. The other one I did was actually installed at the very top of a wall in mom's living room, and you can't reach it. There's no way you can get a ladder there. You can't do anything. And so I ended up on the phone having a conversation with them about what to do. And it turns out that one of the things you can do is that you can print out or have the code for those cameras, and to reset it, you can show it a QR code, and the QR code will reset the camera.
No way. Yeah. That's cool.
Yes, that's the way. Cool. That's the way. So I thought, oh, okay. So what he actually, the tech was actually telling me is, if you have those preset, then you can show the camera the QR code and it'll reset on its own and you're fine. Of course, I didn't have that. So I had to call in somebody to come actually to get on there and actually hit the reset button to do it. And, you know, if you had a ladder, I guess you could figure that out and if you wanted to. So just keep in mind, one of the prep things you can do now, if you have one of these camera setups, is to go ahead and have these QR codes ready for options. So
cool.
I'm going to, when I go back, make sure that I talk to the technician about getting that QR code set up and printing out and then having it available so that we can reset that item without having to go someone to go up the ladder. And, you know, they're coming in to do it now and they're charging me a fee for it. And so I'm in the future, I'll be saving that fee. And I thought, that's a cool idea, the things we need to do for that. And I'm sure other camera sets have now thought of this problem and have features like that too, that you need to keep in mind, that not in addition to having anything set up, you need the cue cards, you know, printed on a sheet of paper, and I'll get mom to hold it up to the camera and it'll reset. So that was kind of cool. I wanted to make sure we can include that on this.
Yeah, that's extremely slick. I love that idea. That's awesome. I tell you what, those kinds of things, you know, being able to have a cue card available or be able to have like a manual available for the tech in the house, or, you know, some diagrams about where things are and how it's put together. I think all that stuff is key, and put it in something that you can get to, you can have with you all the time. I mean, personally, I'm a fan of Apple Notes. You know, I'm a fan of Apple Notes.
And you have a really cool setup that you told me about that I want you to share. I'm going to make sure you share, because it's really neat.
Yeah, there's a couple of cool things I ran into this week. One is I'm going to go for a couple things here. I found this nice fellow over on YouTube. His channel, I believe, is called Apple Everyday Carry. And this guy is a Apple iPhone and Apple iOS shortcut wizard. This dude has done a lot of stuff with his iPhone to kind of help him organize this kind of thing, like manuals or even, you know, QR codes or I don't know, let's see here, like receipts for that matter. Gosh, all kinds of things, you know, signs and things like this. But anyway, what this guy has done is he's created himself what he calls his outboard brain. And I watched him a little bit and actually got inspired by watching his channel to build some of my own stuff. But I want to talk about one of his things first that I really like. He wrote an iOS shortcut that when you run it, all it does is it pops up a little menu that asks you if you want to choose a photo that you've already taken, or do you want to take a photo yourself? And in the demo he did this. He had just gotten, I think he'd just gotten a coupon or something like that. Matter of fact, I know what it was. It was Great Clips. He had gone to Great Clips. He got his hair cut and they gave him a $2 coupon for the next time. He said, man, I need to remember this coupon because, you know, a month from now I'm going to use it. So he took a picture of the thing. And it, you know, that's, you know, everybody takes pictures of all kinds of things. And you know, a lot of people take pictures of documents and that kind of stuff. But this takes it a little bit further. So this guy would take a picture of the coupon, and what it would do after that, instead of just putting it in Photos, it would put it in a folder in Apple Notes, and it drops the photo in there into a new note, and then it did the slick thing. It looked at the picture and any text in the picture, it extracted it and then pasted it below the photo in the Apple Note. And what that did for you is that made that instantly searchable. So he's got this folder, he calls it Clippings, and anything he puts in there, he's got a new note, it's in the Clippings folder. And after that, all he has to do is just search for any word that might have showed up in that photo anywhere.
Oh, wow, that's neat. That's very neat.
Super slick. But he's done a ton of stuff along those lines, and I think that's applicable here. It's an easy way to keep up with all those pieces of info, documents, or whatever you happen to have that you know you're going to want to get back to later on at some point in time. But what he inspired me to do was to think about, so I'm going to give you a little story here. So my dad has a generator. And I have talked with my dad several times and showed him how to crank this generator up. It's a fairly simple process once you've done it a few times and you're used to it. So what it comes down to is there's a little vent cap on the where you put the gas in. You have to turn the vent cap on. Then you have to go and you have this little knob. You turn it over to where it says choke. And then you pull the cord on the side of it. It'll start to crank up. And when it'll run a little rough while it's on choke, then you turn it up to run. And then you're good to go. It's just running. It's doing its thing. So a few steps in there, but you have to remember them all. And to turn it off, there's another sequence too, where you like put it down to a place where you cut the gas off and then let it run out. Cause you want to, if you're going to store it for a long time, you don't want gas sitting in the carburetor. So that's the thing too. So I've explained this to him several times, but it's been a while and he hasn't practiced it in a while. So when the hurricane came and power was out for a day or two, he said, well, I'm going to crank this generator up. So he got it there, he cranked the generator up, he did his thing, and it was cutting off on him. Meanwhile, I'm 1,000 miles away, and he's calling me and saying, I don't know what's up with this generator. This thing won't work. And I said, what? I don't get this. This thing had plenty of power to do his coffee. That was his biggest concern at the time, that was hooking his coffee maker up. You got to have his caffeine fix. So we talked and talked, and I said, I don't understand what is going on. And we went through several things. But the short end of the story here is that what it was is he had forgotten one step in that whole sequence. And it was the very first one about turning the vent cap on the gas cap. So it was running for a little while till it couldn't get any more gas because it couldn't breathe. Then it would turn off. And I go, oh, okay, I figured this out. I knew what it was. I actually felt amazing that I could figure out what it was from 1,000 miles away too. That was pretty cool. But anyway, so what it inspired me to do was to think about these little checklist items to help out in an emergency, things that you, a sequence you might need to go through. And the guy on Everyday Carry inspired me to write a shortcut that will look into a folder on your iPhone. And that folder can contain little videos of how to do things like crank the generator. And where I was going with this was I was thinking that it would be a whole lot better to help my dad to have a video that of me doing it for him and explaining how I did it when I was working through it, as opposed to somebody else on YouTube he doesn't know. He may not trust what they're doing. So, and I could show him with his exact equipment. So the idea is you drop a whole bunch of videos in this folder And in our case, I'm going to put it in an iCloud folder and share it with him. And then I'm going to install this little shortcut on his phone. And then whenever he's in a situation like that where he needs to know one of these how-tos or one of these sequences, he hits one button on his phone, it pops up a menu, and he's got things like how to crank the generator, how to take a photo on my phone, how to reset the Roku, you know, little things like that. And he hits it, it brings it up in quick look, you play the video, it's all good, and it goes away. Now, a lot of you out there, I know if you're tech savvy, you're thinking, why don't I just put that in Apple Photos or whatever, you know, your phone's made for that. Well, a lot of these folks, you know, they don't think of this as a computing device or an information device. They think this is a phone. So you have to make access to that kind of information as easy as possible. So I'm still playing with that. Put out a full on video about it when I'm done, that I'll put here on YouTube, and maybe we'll put a link to it in the show notes if I get it out there. But just wanted to mention that it was kind of slick. So I'm having fun with that.
I think it's a cool idea. And, you know, you can even set it up so that it's actually local to the phone. So that way you don't have to depend on a network or anything to do it. It's just always there. So I think it's a really cool idea. And a lot of nice, in my head, I have a lot of things I could go, wait, I could do that too. I can add this in. Yeah. So now you got to be wary of the people using it, because my mother won't touch my cell phone. So it's not an option for me. But Barry's father is a little more tech savvy and can get to it and all that other things. So you just have to kind of meet it where it's there.
Yeah. So we're going to give it a shot and see how it goes. And said, we'll link off to that kind of thing if we get it going.
No problem.
Okay. Well, I'm looking up at our rundown list up here and seeing a few things that, that we want to talk about. I'm going to say one thing here. I just had an interesting success story this week. Working with my aunt. Unfortunately, her husband passed away not too long ago. And about a year ago, before he passed, they asked me if they would do some of their finance stuff around being an executor for them in their wills. And at the time, they were telling me all about their life insurance policies and that kind of stuff. And they showed me this one life insurance policy that was, it looked like typed text on a piece of paper. It didn't look like this was written on a computer. This looked like typed text. And it was from a company that it was issued in 1995. And the gist of it was, is there's this life insurance policy that's a paid up policy. They haven't paid any kind of premiums on this thing since 1995. And it's worth X thousands of dollars. I'm not going to say how much it's worth. But when they first showed it to me, I thought, this doesn't look good. What is up with this? This company is not in existence anymore. So I started digging and I found out that some other company had bought that company. And then another company had bought the company that bought the company. And it ended up going through about four different companies over the years. And I trolled through websites and talked to different people I could find. And eventually I found the company that was... it held it at that point and verified it was a good policy. And she got a check from them this past week.
Oh, so that's cool.
I felt amazing that I was able to help her get the money out of that policy that from a company that had been gone for a long, long time. So,
that is cool.
Yeah. If you have loved ones, it's you're helping do planning for that kind of stuff. And you see something about a paid up policy or you see something about companies that you haven't heard of, do some digging on the web, do some Googling. You can find out, where those policies live now and, who owns them and how to get money out of them. So it actually does work. I'm surprised.
Cool. Can I talk about something that's on my mind too?
Absolutely.
We're in that season that you have to figure out how to handle voting for your loved ones.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say, you know, we're in South Carolina, so we have rules in South Carolina that may not apply to everybody else. But there's two kind of things I want to mention. First of all, that because we had storms in South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia, South Carolina has actually extended its deadlines for voter in-person and voter registration. And it's actually given a couple of days leeway. I don't know, we're recording this in a different time. You may see it, so I'm not going to concentrate on the dates. But check to make sure that you don't still have some days, if you haven't registered in person, that because of the storm, you still can do voting for the national election. That's one thing. And then the place you can do that in South Carolina is really easy. It's called SouthCarolinaVotes.gov, and it has lots of different applications on it, including things like telling you where your precinct is, telling you if you're registered to vote, showing you a sample ballot. You can check on other people to see if they're voting. So if you're doing this for your loved ones, you can put their address in and make sure that they're set up. You can actually register online up until a certain day. And remember, the deadline might be extended, but I think we're pretty close to it. And in South Carolina, we have early voting, which is different than absentee voting. Early voting means you can go into any one of the South Carolina voting offices, and you can actually vote then. You can do that up to November 2nd. I think it starts on October 21st. And that's early voting. And so as long as you do that in those time periods, you can vote on a day different than November 5th, which is National Voting Day for all of us. And then you still can do absentee voting if you're going to do it alone, but you have to request an absentee ballot to come to you first and then fill out. So all that information is on scvotes.gov for South Carolina. And I think there's similar things like that in Georgia and North Carolina too. So have a plan for making sure you can take your loved one to wherever they need to do to vote. Even if that's absentee voting, if they're over 85, they can get an absentee ballot automatically in South Carolina. Right. If you're and anyone can vote early on the 21st of October by going into an office and just sitting and presenting your card and ID, and you can vote then. So that's a civic duty. You need your voice heard. So if you're in South Carolina, make sure you do that.
That's great advice. That is great advice. And, I like the making the plan. And that's something, too, we've noticed here in the last couple of weeks that that's something you need to have on your list, too, for disasters, because there are a lot of folks in Western North Carolina who are going to have a hard time getting their vote in, honestly.
Yep.
What would be how would you do that if you're in that kind of situation? It's something to think about, to put on your list for sure. All right. Let's see here. So I sent you something. I'll cut this out, but I sent you something earlier about a device that is an AI pen. Did you see that thing?
So I didn't actually see the item, but I saw what it was because I was driving when it came by. But it looks kind
of
cool.
The gist of it is the way they're selling it is it takes meeting notes for you. It just, it clips on your shirt, or you wear it on a chain, or you have it on a wristband, and it takes notes all day for you, and then it feeds it to an AI, which will summarize it over the day, all the stuff that you've done. It keeps transcripts of the day, lets you go back and summarize it. It'll come out with tasks and to-dos and things that you've agreed to and all of that. And it's $169.
That's pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
I've been really amazed at how AI can summarize and do those kind of summaries very quickly. So I had another option where, I'm sitting in this letter I was telling you about, and I had to read a document and go over it. And there are ways for you to summarize that document in ways that you can get the gist of a document very quickly. There is even on a product called Notebook LM on Google. Have you heard of this before?
I've heard of it, but I hadn't dove into it. Tell me about it.
We've always been talking about sticking data in our own little container and having AI use only that data to answer questions on it. So guess what it can do, Barry? So it can give you notes. It can give you flashcards so you can learn from it. But it has a podcast feature.
No way.
Yes way. So tell me more. You stick in a bunch of information, you can say, create a podcast from that, and two AI robots will talk to each other about that data and what it summarizes from it. It's like conversational. And I found out the other day, Barry, you can interrupt it and say, I want to ask a question, and it'll respond to the question with both bots.
Wow. That is kind of crazy.
Isn't that crazy? That's silly crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm listening to it on one of our favorite podcasts. You probably know the one I'm talking about. It's MB. And they're going like, it can't be that good. It's not that good. And so they played a little bit of it on the podcast. And you went, oh, my God, that sounds like them. Because it's really like conversational. Like, and another point you need to know from this data is this. And I'm like, who's the podcast and who's the AI on this one? And then he said, well, and you can interrupt it and ask a question. And it'll say, oh, yeah, okay, well, we've got a question from a user. It's like, wow. I don't know if you want to use this in the podcast or not, because maybe it'll put us out of business one day. I don't know. But, you know, it was like, what do you mean it makes a podcast? It actually has two people, a man and a woman, talking about the data you put in.
That can be used for a lot of good.
That's evil incarnate, is it not?
It could go either way. For sure.
Can you imagine the features with Riverside, with the voice analyst that we have, and you couple that with this? Yeah. They could make us talk about stuff about anything.
I know, for real. And one of the things I was actually kind of impressed with Riverside on was that I can have it produce things in my voice right now, but I can't do it for you, which is great. Right. I like that you can't do it for you. So, you know, I guess it's the responsible party who's paying the bills. They'll for your account, that's the ones that it'll let you do, because it's just you, but you can't impersonate anybody else. I'm glad of that. So what you gonna do?
We're headed towards to Star Trek at warp speed. I'm just telling you.
I tell you, when we were on vacation, I'm standing in Acadia National Park, and I'm looking out over this ocean cove, all these massive rocks and trees everywhere, and My wife is next to me, and she gets a FaceTime call from my daughter, who's at our house, to let us know that our power's come back on. And they're having a conversation on the side of this cliff with my daughter. And I thought, we live in Star Trek. We literally live in Star Trek.
We live in 1965 Star Trek, for sure.
At least that.
Well, 65%, you know, the warp stuff ain't happening.
Well, they're getting there, you know.
That's a breakfast conversation that you and I can have. But, you know, I've learned some things about the universe that made that a little bit harder to deal with. So, it's kind of cool. Could you
back to tech here? This week, I saw a device that I think is very intriguing, and I think it could be really useful for a lot of things, but especially for the field of caregiving and helping your loved ones record data and get that data summarized in a way. And it's basically what it is an AI pen. It looks like a little medical guardian or a first alert device that folks wear sometimes. It can be a watch, it can be a pen, whatever. But what it does is it follows you around during the day, and as you're having conversations, as you're in meetings, as you're talking to your doctor, as you're talking to your insurance professionals, it's recording all this stuff. And then it feeds that to a nice little AI that will transcribe it all. It'll attribute the sections of text to different voices or different people. And it'll come up and it will summarize that data for you so that you can go back and refer to it, or you can share it. So I think this thing is going to be huge for this field. We're not mentioning it yet because we hadn't tested it, but I think it's something worth using. What do you think, Bob?
I think it'd be cool. Now, there's some privacy things you always want to check in on this, like where does this data go and what happens when it breaches? But can you imagine if you had, say, a loved one who went to a doctor and you couldn't be there, and the doctor's giving them details and information about their condition or their prognosis or something about that's going on with their bodies, and now you get a summary of that information in a way that you can look at it and go, oh, so they did get cleared. Oh, so they do need to reduce their cholesterol. Something like that would be really invaluable, especially when you're dealing with parents who may have things like memory loss or fog, or just feeling overwhelmed by the technology and the conversation that they're having. Can you really be helpful to them? So this has a lot of promise, and I know Barry and I are going to probably do some testing to see whether or not this really works. but then we'll bring it back up, and if it does, and talk about it, and give you more, give you all information on it. But you know, this has a game changing kind of appeal to it that I think we are really investigating.
It really does, and if we get it in and it works good, we will do a full review and whole episode on it. I'm sure, for sure.
Sure.
Cool. Let's see. One thing that you told me earlier that I threw on the list from last time is there was a line in here about letting people take photos of you, even if you don't like how you look, because they aren't for you.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, and we all have phones now that generate memories of things. And if you have the stream of data that comes through when you take pictures is being looked at by some machine language learning AI and coming up with snippets of, hey, you're on vacation in certain place, or, hey, this, remember this picture way back when? So those kinds of things are happening. And what I've learned is, if you don't provide it that good information about what your life is going on, and I don't mean putting it on Facebook or Instagram, and that's another kind of conversation that if you're doing that, God bless you, I understand. But you want to do it for yourself. And that means that you need to talk to your family about the fact that when you take those pictures, you know, I have a family member, or some family members, who say, no, get away from me. And they put their hands up like this. And I'm like, nobody wants a picture like that. What we want is you in a moment. So you make a contract with them to say, look, I'm not putting it on Facebook. I'm not doing this to your privacy. But I want to be able to have a moment where I can remember what happened 3 or 4 years ago and see a picture that's like that of a loved one who may not be here anymore, or of a moment which we may never do again. And so you need to be aware of that and realize you're actually documenting your life and your loved one's life in a way that might be really useful later down the road. So you can't undo that for 2 or 3 years later. So I think it's really cool to make that kind of dialogue. And I do it for my friends, and they do it for me. My family does it for each other. And you end up with these great moments that you can share with each other. And there's even some features, I think, in some of the new phones. Apple has one. I know Google has one too, where you can share as a family those photos together, and they get grouped together. So, you know, you got to create that ammunition to put in that gun to shoot off. If you don't do that, then you'll have nothing. So you don't have nothing. So, yeah, I think it's a cool idea. And you have to get past some people who rightfully have some issues about you taking pictures all the time. You know, never put pictures of people on Facebook unless they know you're doing it. But the personal track's different.
Yep. And how did you have to have that conversation with the person who puts the hand up in front of the?
I did. And she was receptive to it. So, you know, it's, I think over time you get people realizing what you're doing. You got to build trust, obviously. Again, yep. You know, I think about some commercials where the kid was walking around taking pictures and never was being annoyed. But then he put together this nice little reel and everybody went, oh, he was really in the moment. He was actually talking to people. That's a real life thing. That can actually happen. So I've got pictures of my sister whom I lost 3 years ago, who now pop up when occasionally, but it's because I kept taking pictures throughout the whole time. So consider that. Realize that life reel is worth having within limits. You know, obviously, there's some things you don't want to do. You make sure people are fully clothed and make sure you don't take pictures of people with the food in the mouth and stuff like that. But, you know, other than that, taking a couple of moment pictures really helps.
I agree. And my dad has this thing where he won't smile in a photo. And I'm like, what is up with that? He said, well, I just don't like the way my smile looks. I think I look fake. I'm like, well, you know, these photos aren't for you, man. We're doing this because we can remember you. And we'd rather you just be you, as opposed
just
to
be you.
Yeah, just be you, and you don't have to look all stern and stuff. I mean, well, sometimes he is, but you know, hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I actually think about smiling more. I want to look that serious. So,
do you want to be remembered smiling or scowling? Think about it that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smiling or scowling. Can you think of anything else for today?
There was a couple of things, like when I charged things for my use, remembering things like your iPad, your computers can charge your phone. That your car is a generator. You can get in the car and put gas in it. And making sure you have the cables to go ahead and connect all your devices to your car setup if you had to. There were times I actually drove around or tried to by getting in the car and turning on the engine. So if you don't have a generator handy, guess what you do? It's call your car, and it actually can charge your phone. And if you charge enough devices, you can keep yourself going for a good bit. So remember those things. And then, you know, write down the things that you missed while you had this power outage, and then, you know, figure out a way to make them happen for the next one. So I'm actually thinking about putting in a generator for myself and what it would do and what I had to fix up. There's a whole conversation that can be had about how you do that, especially if you're using gas as your input. So talk to your gas company about it. There are lots of deals out there that can be had. Don't do it now because everybody's rushing to do it now, and you'll get charged the gouge fee for it. But wait a while, and when it calms down, go back in and have that conversation and maybe get a reasonable setup on what it takes.
I think that's
useful.
Yeah, for sure. And in fact, my dad, he's thinking about downsizing next year, and you know, selling his house and some property and going into a smaller house. And we're lucky enough to be in a situation where he's going to have it built. My brother's a builder, so it's going to be built, and they're already planning as they build it to set it up where it's got a generator attached to it and ready to kick in if power goes out, and just have that plan straight up. And I think a lot of people are going to start doing that. So I think that's everything I got right now. What about you?
I think that's good. Yeah. If you really like what you're hearing and you really like what we're talking, you should choose our podcast, write a review for it, and subscribe, because that'll help us. We should be doing that kind of thing.
Yes, please do that. Please do that. And know that we have a YouTube channel. If you're listening to us, you can go and see our lovely faces if you'd like to while we're talking about this stuff.
And we have a beautiful email address you can send things to if you'd like to as well. So,
and what's that email address, Mr. Clark?
caretechandtips@gmail.com. So you can certainly do that. Spelled out the and. So, yeah, absolutely.
Good deal. All right. Well, that sounds good. Well, I think we'll button it up for today, and we'll see you next time on Care Tech and Tips.
All right. I'm Bob.
I'm Barry.
Okay.